Hey there kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I'm just letting you know once again about a couple things. First one is MomoCon, because that's going to be happening at the end of the month. MomoCon's going to be taking place between May 23rd through May 26th. It's in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm going to tell you about it every goddamn time I get a chance to, because I want to see people there. I swear to God, if I'm there alone, I'm going to... No, I'm not going to lose it, but I swear to God, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to be there with Muji, and we're going to be telling stories and doing game shows. It's going to be great. Not to mention, like, a bunch of your other, like, favorite YouTubers are going to be there. It's a good time. Also, continuing the pathway of being a good husband during the family experiment, if you guys are interested in mixed blends of herbal teas, and now, actually, I think green teas and chai teas, you should check out my wife's shop. It's etsy.com/shop/ivory monocle tea. The Ivory Monocle Tea is my wife's mixed tea shop. You can order your own Dungeons & Dragons themed teas and things like that. It's really cool. It's really fun. And she's put a lot of her heart and soul into it. So if you guys enjoy listening to stories and having hot tea or cold tea or however you take your tea, then you guys should really check out her shop. And that's all the time I'm taking up for you today, ladies and gentlemen. On to tonight's story. George isn't dead. See, to this day, he is still in a coma. Like a living vegetable, which is much worse. It would have been merciful if he died, but he didn't. There's a chance he's enduring all these years still conscious. After this major incident, we wanted to shut down the experiment, free the remaining subjects. The whole team wrote a manifesto containing details of the horrifying events so far, but it only made the bigwigs want to keep the experiment going more. They were very interested in the results. Monsters. And I, for one, am a monster by association. I stayed. My career would be ruined if they released information about my participating in this unethical project, and I was too deep into this to not see it through to the end. Day 80. It's fascinating to see how humans deal with mourning. Most of us need to be let alone 90% of the time we spend grieving, but the 10% of interaction with other people and feeling their support is crucial. Without it, you fall apart. George wasn't dead, but everyone could comprehend that he might as well be. There was no optimism with his recovery, and the overwhelming feeling of hopelessness tore the family apart. Maya locked herself up even more. She spent the whole time keeping her mind busy and active, mostly reading. She used to play the piano ever since she was a little girl, but we purposely didn't put a piano in the house. She started to compose songs using a website that emulated a piano. And back then, smartphones weren't common, so the subject didn't have a phone. It's just a computer. I smiled. She was strong and resourceful. It pained me to know that she was never leaving this place alive. How long do you intend to keep us here? 6 months? 1 year? Sandra's words stuck with me, because I couldn't tell her an answer, one that I knew by heart. This was the cruelest part of our experiment. There's nothing to look forward to. We're keeping you here forever. Until every last one of you dies. Day 83. Regis punched and smashed all his handiwork. The food will be very scarce next month, unfortunately. By destroying the commission pieces, Regis didn't earn enough money to afford feeding all of his family properly. Normalcy. Day 88. For a while, the remaining subjects tried to behave as a family. But as soon as something didn't go as expected, they exploded in rage and tears. Regis and Sandra physically fought, and Maya had to choke her father with her bare hands until he passed out. "I thought he was going to kill you," she offered to her shaky mother, then locked herself in her room. The peace had lasted a mere 2 days. Day 97, just like George, Sandra had been talking to someone that's not there. And they're fighting. She doesn't eat anymore. Regis and Maya fought over what little food they could get that week. None of them seemed concerned with Sandra. She's too weak for this. She's better gone. Maya repeated this 103 times. Day 107, Sandra lost a lot of weight and isn't sleeping. She just walks in circles around the room, calling for George and arguing with an invisible being. Her broken mind seems to have regressed to her son's childhood. She keeps baby talking with him. She giggles and coos too. It's a little sad. Maya took upon herself cleaning George's room. She had removed the extra gore earlier, but only now really took the time to go through his things. Maybe understand why he took his life in such a brutal way. She found a whole notebook filled with the words, "Don't go into the closet." The writing gets more and more desperate. Until you can barely decipher his words. She didn't go into the closet. Day 106, Sandra used the last of her strength to gouge out her eyes with two spoons. The woman begged to be left to die, and neither her husband nor daughter dared to stop her. They clearly weren't against it. I have to praise Sandra for her creativity. After George's first attempt, we removed all the knives and potentially piercing objects from the house. It made everyday life a nightmare because they weren't allowed to own a single pair of scissors and could only eat with spoons in their hands. Speaking of eating, still not enough food. Maya's rationing hers wisely. Regis is a mess. I'll be joining Karina now. She was George's twin sister. You don't remember her because you were a baby too, but she died on her first days. Your father accidentally let her fall from the bed. These were Sandra's last words for Maya. Day 111, Maya keeps telling herself, "Don't go into the closet," and shivering. She wrote it too, but not as many times as her brother, and nowhere near as desperate. "Under the last time," she added, "there's a presence there. Something brown and evil." The camera inside the closet still doesn't work. The camera pointed to the closet malfunctions constantly, with no apparent reason. They get normal whenever you put them somewhere else. Day 116. We removed Sandra's body the same way we did to George. Then, today, we symbolically put a cross in the garden. I'll briefly explain that the house is completely inside a building, but they have a small winter garden with tall plexiglass to let the sun in. Maya found it eerie to have a graveyard in her own house. She keeps busy. She's composed enough to learn things and is teaching herself Japanese. Regis keeps calling for Sandra. During the night, he goes to their old bedroom door and knocks desperately until he falls asleep on the floor. Thing is, the door is unlocked and open. Day 223. Regis lost touch with reality. Now he knocks on Maya's door and thinks it's Sandra whenever he sees his daughter. She's been locking him out during the whole day as he keeps screaming and crafting the wood pieces to make money and feed herself. She's been feeding her father with the bare minimum to survive. Dr. Ivanov thinks she doesn't want him to survive. Still can't find the courage to let him die. Having to take care of someone gives her purpose. And while annoying and demanding, it's better than being alone. Day 225. It's Maya's 16th birthday. We sent in a beautiful cake. She bitterly laughed and accused us of having a twisted sense of humor. She gave Regis a small piece, and he went hysterical, refusing to eat. He thinks Maya is dead, and Sandra is delusional. Day 234. Maya was doing well until today. Regis is malnourished, and his sclera is bloody red, protruding veins. I think he went blind. But he still somehow had the strength to free himself from the three locks and find Maya. She was in George's room, trying to analyze his computer to get some answers about his death. We still don't know how. It happened in a matter of seconds. Like it was some unknown force. Regis broke into the room and tried to force himself on his daughter, still thinking it was his wife. The human in me didn't want to watch. The human in me wanted to interfere. But the sociologist, thirsty for a peek at the darkest of his mind, watched. Maya was taken by surprise, which gave Regis the upper hand, but in a few seconds she was able to recover. She had been eating and sleeping properly. And we knew that she was strong enough to literally squeeze his neck to death, but she didn't do it. She shoved him in the closet and locked it. Day 235. We keep hearing Regis' screams on the closet's microphone. It's maddening. He's begging to be killed, and you could hear faint noises of skin and hair being ripped off. Please. Someone free me from that. Please. 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 Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and once again, it's the end of tonight's video, so I want to tell you all thank you for listening or watching, however you hear my voice. Whether it be on YouTube or on the podcast, thank you so much for being here with me. There's going to be a new story every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday night right here on YouTube, or if you're not watching on YouTube, that means the podcast gets updated on SoundCloud, Apple, Google Play, and now the podcast is on Spotify. So if it's easier for you guys to listen there than it is to listen on YouTube, then hey, not such a bad deal, right? As always, any support you guys give towards Mr. Creepypasta's story time really does help me out. I can actually keep the lights on in the house, and I can get nice little cat treats for Hercules. Okay, sorry for taking up so much of your time. Thank you guys for listening once again. And sweet dreams.